Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Hello and welcome to show 103 of our podcast, Absolutely Intercultural, which is, by the way, getting more and more international. My English co-host Anne Fox has been doing her shows from Denmark, where she lives with her family. Our half German, half Italian and half Swiss editor Dino Nogarole is currently doing his semester abroad in Lyon, and so he's editing the sound files from Spain. And I'm still in Queensland, Australia, where I'm teaching and doing some research for one semester. However, thanks to the new media, email, virtual drives and digital platforms, such international cooperation is feasible, which means that we can bring fresh, new and I hope interesting reports from around the world directly onto your ears. Now, our interviewees today are from Spain, from Canada and from Hungary. By the way, we've been nominated for the European Podcast Awards. Could you please do us a favor and go to our website at absolutely-intercultural.com and vote for our podcast if you like it. We would very much appreciate your help in this. In our first category today, Absolutely Down Under, I will attempt to describe how a regular, perfectly normal morning on the Sunshine Coast in Australia still has some surprises for Europeans. The kangaroos lived here before they built the university, and I learned that kangaroos are territorial, just like the snake in the garage which I saw on the shelf, and so they stayed here, which means that right in between the buildings, between the library and the cafeteria, for example, you will always see these kangaroos. Then John Kettler from Brock University in Canada will tell us how he was absolutely confused in a Mandarin class where students were allowed to interrupt and make tea during the lecture if they were thirsty.
He would have cups and he would bring hongcha and lucha, so black tea and green tea. And anyone could stop the lesson anytime if they were thirsty. But what they had to do was, first of all, politely ask in Mandarin, of course, you know, does anyone want some tea? Mm-hmm. And so then you would make tea for other people as well.
In our last category, I spoke with two lecturers from Spain and from Hungary who told me how it is so much more difficult to build yourself a position of power as a teacher or as an organizer of a summer school if you're not tall but absolutely tiny.
Now I had to organize the whole summer school as well. And then, well, I'm a tiny person. And when I meet all these representatives of the university, the town, the region. It is really, I think, a hard situation to deal with that.
Now, some of you people who listened to my Absolutely Down Under reports asked me whether, apart from a tropical Christmas by the pool or a National Australia Day, which I described both in previous shows, how a very normal, regular day in Australia would also be different for a European. So I followed myself around with a microphone and recorded my intercultural impressions during one morning from getting up at 7 o'clock until I arrived at the University of the Sunshine Coast at 9. You will notice from my comments how much I like it here, except for the first few minutes after waking up. I admit I'm not a morning person. In our category Absolutely Down Under, you catch me waking up in my bed with my windows wide open to the tropical forest. This is not my time of the day, although I managed to survive the very loud bird song earlier at 6 o'clock. What time is it now? Okay, it's 7 o'clock now. I have to get up, I guess. So let's get going. I'll show you what my morning looks like. So let's see what we've got here. Let's open the fridge. Okay, as you're listening, I guess I'd better go very healthy. So there is Greek-style yogurt, which is wonderful in this country, I must say. So let's get this out. And there's loads of fruit. So what have I got? I've got the muesli. I've got my Australian pecan nuts. And so today I'm not going to have coffee, but I go healthy and I take my lemon and ginger flavor tea bags. Oh gosh, that probably means that there's neither lemon nor ginger in it. Okay, anyway, I go very healthy and I try to make this into a nice breakfast.
It's 7 o'clock Eastern Summer Time, 6:30 in Adelaide, 7 o'clock, sorry, 6 o'clock, just checking, in Brisbane, 5:30 in Darwin and 4 a.m. in the West.
Well, I just realized that maybe it's a good idea that audio doesn't give you the full picture, because this is how I can take you on my morning routines. Now, one of the things that people in Queensland talk a lot about is water. Now, for example, for the showers, it's absolutely mandatory, I think, that everybody has a water-saving device. Somehow, they forgot to fix that in my apartment. Now, intellectually, I'm all against that, but physically, I love all that water. I'm afraid there's not enough room for all of us here in the shower cabin, so I'm afraid you have to stay out.
In Brisbane, a mostly fine day, a top of 31. Right now, it's 27 degrees. In Sydney, a few showers, the chance of thunderstorms, and 27 the expected maximum. At the moment, 25. Perth, a hot, mostly sunny day. It's 18, heading for a top of 33, and also 33 for Darwin, the expected top today. An afternoon storm on the way. Right now, it's 30 degrees.
Okay, I'm feeling much better now after my breakfast and after my shower. Now what's next? I should get dressed now. Quick look at the watch. It's 7:55, 5 minutes to 8 o'clock. One thing I need to do first now, and that's to switch on the air conditioning. Yeah, that may seem strange to you, but if I don't do that, all the showering in the morning doesn't help, because by the time I've got my clothes on and I've packed my bag, I would need another shower. So let's get dressed now. Let's have a look at what I should put on. Well, on weekends, this is very easy. You just put on a pair of shorts and what they call thongs in this country. I was very surprised about that when I heard that for the first time, because I thought it was underwear. And I had written an email message to somebody in the university and asked, well, what kinds of things should I be wearing? And he wrote back to me, oh, don't worry about it. Everybody here runs around in thongs. And I was sort of imagining them in some kind of underwear. But they explained to me that this is actually something like flip-flops, so these very light shoes. But today I'm going to go to the university, and so I'm wearing long trousers, and let's have a look at the shirts. No long sleeves, that's out of the question today. So it's going to be a white shirt, but with short sleeves. And I'm not going to wear thongs, but I'm going to wear proper shoes, because I cannot bring myself to walking into the university in flip-flops. Now, I'm now in my car, ready to go. It was very funny when I booked this car through Avis. I rang them and I said, oh, by the way, what I need is a car with air conditioning, because I know it's pretty warm over at your end. And they said, oh yes, we'll try to find one for you. Of course, there are no cars here without air conditioning. You wouldn't survive one day without air conditioning, so I really made a fool of myself there. Now, let's go. One thing I have learned to do here is to go and shut the garage. I didn't do that at the beginning. And then 2 weeks ago, we were in Umundi at a market, and I actually learned why you should do this, because somebody showed us a garage and he had a permanent resident in his garage, and this was a bloody big snake. I don't know how long it was, but I would have thought like something like 2 meters or even longer than that. I was almost too frightened to even go into the garage and to take a photo of the snake, which was nicely curled up on one of the shelves. And it's a permanent resident. I learned then that snakes stay in the same place all the time. So after that, I've started closing the door of my garage, so I won't have the same surprise. Now, let's go then. Now, if you want to find out what illegal things I'm doing behind the wheel, you will have to stay with us, as the second part of my morning will be covered later in this show. And I promise that there are some interesting intercultural revelations about the Australians. But let us now turn to our category Absolutely Confused and go to an unusual language classroom in Canada where the Chinese teacher encourages the students to interrupt the teaching if they are thirsty. In different cultures, some gestures mean different things. Symbols are not universal. But what do you do when a good friend from abroad uses gestures that offend you? Do you choose to ignore it and pretend nothing happened? Or do you talk to your friend and explain that this gesture is not acceptable in your culture? Listen to what John did. Maybe we can learn some general strategies about how to react constructively in these intercultural incidents.
I think that you can learn from different cultures wherever you are. I will give you a quick example. A few years ago at my university, I was taking an introductory Mandarin course because I'm interested in languages. And the professor that was teaching was a friend of mine. Prior to my taking the course, my family and I had been over to his house many times, and he had been over to ours. So anyway, we were friends, and we got along fine. And it was a three-hour class that he taught, a long class, and he would always bring an electric kettle or jug, and he would always
classroom.
Into the classroom, right. And he would have cups, and he would bring hongcha and lucha, so black tea and green tea, and anyone could stop the lesson anytime if they were thirsty. But what they had to do was first of all politely ask in Mandarin, of course, you know, does anyone want some tea? And so then you would make tea for other people as well. So this one time I was thirsty, and so I said, excuse me, I'm going to make some tea for myself. Does anyone else want tea? Well, the professor said, yes, John, I would like some tea. And so he told me what kind of tea it was he wanted, and I found two or three other people who wanted tea. And so I plugged in the kettle, waited for it to boil. It boiled. I put the right number of cups in front of me, and then I put pinches of green tea or black tea into the cup. And of course, the very first cup that I pour is the professor's, Lao Shi. It's only respectful. And he was sitting maybe 2 meters across the table from me, so I could not hand the tea to him. I had to walk around the table to him. And so the very first cup that I poured was his. And as soon as I started pouring, he went, tapped on the desk with his finger, crooked finger. And right away, I stopped pouring, because in Canada, that's a sign of impatience, of power.
Right.
My father used to do that to me sometimes. And so I stopped pouring. And I said, wait a minute now. Can't you wait until I'm finished pouring? That's what I thought. I didn't say that. But as soon as I thought that, I had another thought. He's my friend. He's never done anything wrong to me. There's something I don't understand.
Okay.
So I finished pouring, and I walked around the table. I put the cup in front of him, and I bowed, and I said, here's your tea, Lao Shi. And so then I said, I have one question, though. What is it? Why did you go like this? Why did you tap the table? And he said, John, I'm surprised. You don't know. And I said, no, I don't. And so he looked at the rest of the students, and he said, Tell John why I did that. Well, of course, we're all Canadian, and we don't know. And so then he can't believe it, that we do not know what this means. So he said, it means thank you.
All right.
Because you're bowing with your finger rather than bowing with your head. And then he told us the story about how that came about. It's a very interesting story. But anyway, so he was being polite.
Mm-hmm. And
I was being polite, but we misunderstood each other.
Let me now go absolutely down under again. And I will continue my intercultural report about a regular Australian morning going to work on the Sunshine Coast in my car. I would like to share some thoughts about beautiful landscapes and masculine-looking cars and trucks. Okay, now I'm doing something which really I shouldn't be doing. I'm driving and I'm talking to you at the same time. Maybe the quality of the recording is not so good because I had to put down the microphone. Now, I should, because I need both my hands on the steering wheel, because this is a fantastic drive. This is the best part of the morning, actually. I'm driving along the Sunshine Coast. This is more or less, the whole of the Sunshine Coast is more or less one big beach. And I'm going up and down and in curves and going around the corner, and then I'm looking down on another fantastic beach. And there's a lot of surf today, and I'm actually close enough to the beaches that I can actually see the surfers in the waves, and they seem to be having a wonderful time. Now, I'm not much of a beach person myself, so this is fantastic for me. I can have a look at this. I can enjoy it for a quarter of an hour every morning when I go to the university. I don't have to go down there. I don't get sunburned. I'm safe in my car, except when I'm making these recordings. And I get a beach feeling without getting any sand on my feet. Okay, I'll come back to you a little later because there's a roundabout coming. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the cars that I see on the roads here. They're very different from the cars in Germany. They are much more masculine, much more fierce looking. So your regular Bruce wouldn't be seen dead in an ordinary, nice little European car, which doesn't consume a lot of petrol. You have to have a pickup and... Well, actually, many men drive cars which look as if they were to fix your plumbing or something, but they are driving these cars when they go to their offices. So it must be something cultural. Maybe there is enough there for an interview with somebody. Maybe I can find somebody to explain this to me. The trucks are even worse. The trucks really look fierce. Maybe I should explain the landscape a little bit on the left and on the right, because now I've left the coast. I'm a little more inland. I'm using what is called the Sunshine Motorway. What I see on the left and on the right is landscapes which are changing every 5 minutes. So you have, for a while, you have something that looks like swamps, with kind of, it looks like dead trees in these swamps, and it's a spectacular view. You get very high grass and it's very, very beautiful. You got all these what looks like dead trees sticking out of this. I'm not quite sure. They've got very dark bark, and it looks as if there had been a fire. It is a spectacular view. Unfortunately, here on the motorway, of course, I'm not allowed to stop, but every day I think I would want to get out my camera at this point and take some beautiful pictures of that. Then 5 minutes later, you come to a place which looks very dry, and you get, I think they're called paper bark trees, very beautiful trees, and the bark is hanging loosely from the tree, and it's a very white bark, and it's a completely different kind of landscape with gum trees, and it feels very dry, and it's just fantastic to have all these different landscapes within such a short period of time. Okay, as I'm going faster and faster, I should now concentrate a little bit more on the driving. So I leave you until we come to the university. While I'm concentrating on the traffic, I want to introduce you to the idea that being small or tiny just like being young or being from a different country can have an influence on the way you have to interact with the world. Have you ever needed to construct an image of yourself? Because otherwise people wouldn't have taken you seriously. When you start in a new job or move to another city, you could plan to try out something new. So quite some time ago, we asked Marlene from Spain and Anita from Hungary how they have worked on their personal image projection when they first started their new jobs, teaching at a university. In our category Absolutely Tiny, Marlene describes how she wanted to prove to the students that she was the teacher and perhaps went a little over the top, to the point that one of her students was actually frightened to come back to class.
She was worried, she said to me, to come back to class. And I said, no, please, you don't have to be worried about it. But I just wanted you to realize that we have to be a little bit flexible and patient with one another. Mm-hmm. And, but she was really upset, and I got very upset as well. And knowing me, I was like, oh, my God, what a mistake. And students, they would then say, oh, Marlene, you've been quite hard on her. And I said, well, I really apologize. And after the class, just in private, we talked about it. But, the fact that I wanted to let them realize that I am the teacher, no matter my size, you know? Yeah.
Actually, my story is quite similar to yours, because I am I'm also a tiny little person. And this summer, I got the opportunity to organize a summer university in Pécs, where I come from. It's in Hungary. And although I have been teaching for 4 years in that summer school, the same summer school, and I have been with the teachers and with the organizers for several years, it is a totally different perspective and experience to organize it and to teach there. Yeah. And now I had to organize the whole summer school as well. And then, well, I'm a tiny person. And when I meet all these representatives of the university, the town, the region, it is really, I think, a hard situation to deal with that. Because I have never been in such a position that I have to greet them, I have to tell them, well, this is this summer school that we have been organizing for several years, and these are these people from these countries, and Erasmus students and other students. So that was really a big deal, I think.
Mm. You've both mentioned your body size, which is quite surprising. Well, I'm incredibly tall compared to you. So do you think you're compensating something in this situation, that you think because you're very small? On the other hand, you have to be, I don't know, stricter or more prominent?
Yes, I think so. I mean, if you are tiny, little, it's usually your voice is not that big either, or I don't know how to put that actually.
I think that even if you shout, you feel like, well, it doesn't make a difference even if I shout, you know? It happens to me, honestly. Yes.
Oh, I hope my laughter is not louder than your voices on the podcast.
It might be, I don't know. I don't know. But yes, exactly what Marlene says is true, because you cannot really shout and people won't take you so seriously as you should think.
So do you have any strategies? Before you now go into a classroom, are there things where you say, okay, I'm going to do this and that?
Well, no, I don't think so, because actually, even if we try to or we think of compensating with our voice or with our whole behavior, we actually should be aware of the fact that we are good teacher or we are not good teachers, you know. And if you think you are a good teacher, it doesn't really matters your size or anything.
Exactly. You know, in Spain, there is a saying which translated would be like, good perfume comes in small bottles. That's what some people say, you know.
In our last category, Absolutely Down Under, I will share with you the last leg of my daily route to the University of the Sunshine Coast and report about road signs, roadkill, and difficult to pronounce Aboriginal names of places in Australia. One of these days, of course, I need to stop and take photographs of these road signs. On my way to the university, I've already passed three signs that asked me to slow down, and there was a little cuddly koala depicted on the road sign. Then I've gone past, I don't know how many signs telling me that there could be kangaroos crossing the street. Of course, in the last 3 months, none of this has happened. I haven't seen a single koala on the street. I haven't seen a single kangaroo on the street, but they do exist. I've seen them also in the wild, so they do exist, but fortunately, they seem to know that they shouldn't be walking on the streets. Oh dear, there is another another roundabout approaching. I better concentrate a little now. It's interesting. I should be doing these recordings more often, because suddenly I'm seeing things which I must have seen before on this road, but I've never paid attention to this. So today I looked out because of these street signs, beware of kangaroos, beware of koalas. I looked for roadkill on the side of the street, and in fact what I saw were, I didn't see a kangaroo, I didn't see koalas, of course, but what I did see were many small animals which I think could have been possums. I saw something which looked like a fox, but surely in this country they don't have foxes, but it was a lighter color, a sort of reddish color, and I saw a sports shoe on the side of the street. So secondly, what I looked out for were the road signs, and it made me laugh because I suddenly realized that many of the names that you see on the left and on the right are very unusual names. So there was Mujimba, there was Bleebly, an island here, Bleebly Island. Then now I'm just in the middle of Maroochydore Bridge, and the next exit is called Mululuba, yes, and that means we are actually getting close to the university. I have a feeling that these names must be of Aboriginal descent, but I need to find out about that. But now I need to pay attention, because before we get to Mululuba, I actually need to take the exit of this motorway. I've just seen a road sign which says school, and a kangaroo again. And in fact, here the sign is true, because I'm turning into the university campus, and this is a campus where there are many kangaroos right in the middle of the campus, which is strange, but this is how it is. I would say a group, I don't know how kangaroos come, in groups maybe, a group of about 25 kangaroos that live here. And apparently the kangaroos lived here before they built the university. And I learned that kangaroos are territorial, just like the snake in the garage which I saw on the shelf. And so they stayed here. Which means that right in between the buildings, between the library and the cafeteria, for example, you will always see these kangaroos. Oh dear, I got a little carried away with snakes, road signs and kangaroos. So now we must hurry and come to the end of the show. But do not forget to vote for us on the European Podcast Award by going to our website at absolutely-intercultural.com and checking out the instructions how you can help us. It really does not take longer than a couple of minutes, and we would really appreciate your help. Our next show will be coming to you from Anne Fox in Denmark on the 5th of March. Until then, bleiben Sie absolut interkulturell. Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.